podcast is brought to you by Lighthouse Fellowship Antwerpen. For more information, please visit our website www.lighthouseantwerpen.be. We hope that this audio podcast will help you to enjoy life, to love God, and to make a difference.
It's great to have you here for part three of this series. If you missed part one and two, I really want to encourage you to check out the video podcast. Hadassah gave an extraordinary good word last week. Is that right? Was anybody here heard it? Well, what do you think about that word? I mean, I think it was so proud. This is my girl up there, and I'm giving such a word out. So we are still busy with our Pray First series. And we want to give God not just the beginning of the year, but like everything. And we talk about how can we do this? How does this work? Pray first, because it's easy said, right? But how do we live this out? How do we walk this this walk of praying all the time? And the Word of God says, this is what we said the last 2 weeks, 1 Thessalonians 5:16 and 18, rejoice always, pray continually. How in the world does that work? How can you pray continually? I mean, I don't have the time to pray and talk and bubble the whole day, because we have 3 daycare centers, I have 3 small kids, I need to bring my car to the garage, we have a life to live. How can we then pray continually? So we need to understand that Jesus had a new way of connecting to God that was so exciting and so amazing that the disciples watched him and they said, teach us how to pray. We want to have what you have. And Hadassah spoke about that the Our Father is not just a prayer to be learned by heart. Our Father in the heaven, hallowed be your name, your will come, your kingdom. Okay, amen, we're done with it. That was never the idea. It's not a formula, it's a roadmap. It's a GPS that leads us into this new form of prayer. So if we understand this, then we see that our Father in the heaven connects us with God on a relational basis. And not just a relational, he is my Father. The Word of God says, we don't have a spirit of fear. We have a spirit that says, Abba, Father. And if I start praying, I know that I'm coming to my Father who knows me. And I'm accepted. And I don't have to be afraid. And it's okay to be with him. And I can crawl on his lap and tell him everything that's on my heart. And he understands. This is how we start our prayer. It's not any kind of, Almighty God, help me to be a better person, kind of stiff, unrelational thing that we check off our checkbox. No, it's, Father, I'm coming to you today. Your name, hallowed be your name. Your name is awesome. Your name is mighty. You are my provider. You are my healer. You fight my battles. You stand up for me. This is my Father, and I'm coming to you. You know, it's a roadmap into these kind of prayers. And once we understand this, the Our Father will lead us into probably hours and hours and hours of conversations with our Father. Give us our daily bread. Lord, we have needs and you know that. But in you, they are fulfilled. You know, we talk with him about everything. This is the prayer, but how can we pray continually? It says, 1 Thessalonians 5:16, never stop praying. We see in Luke 18:1 that Jesus was serious about this. He used a lot of stories and parables to help people understand, I don't want you to pray once in a while, or not even 3 times a day. I want you to be connected with God 24/7, 365. I want you to be connected with God continually all the time. And he uses many different stories and parables to bring this point home. One day Jesus told his disciples a story to show that they should always pray. And then he tells them a story about a widow and a judge and how she just gives him no rest and just always, 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 continually knocks at his door. And what does the Bible say? Knock and it will be opened to you. Ask and it will be given to you. We want to talk about today how this practically can work. How can we pray all the time? In John 15, Jesus says, "Remain in me." And that, I believe, this is the translation of pray continually. Pray continually does not mean that we talk all the time, because we don't have that time. But I believe pray continually means that we remain in him all the time. That we understand that he is with us all the time. That we give him our first and our best. The principle of the first is so powerful. We talked about it as we spoke about finances. And people, I hear testimonies because people started to give God their first. And this principle also applies in prayer. That we start the year with prayer. That you start your day with prayer. Because what does the first do? The first has the power to bless the rest. It sets a tone. It sets a course for the rest of the day. That means we have a choice. If you get out of your bed and the first thing that you say or think is, "Oh my God, now I have to go to work to all these colleagues and all the problems, and this person doesn't get me, and this is not done." Before you had your coffee, it's going to be a bad day already. Because this is how you start. The first has an influence on the rest. But if we start the day with, "Good morning, Jesus. Thank you that you are with me. There are challenges today, but I know that you are bigger than that, and you will carry me through this day, and I'm walking with you. Thank you that you are with..." It sets a tone for the rest of the day. It's the same circumstances, but you will be a different person. Why? Because you gave your first that blesses and influences all the rest. This applies to finances. This applies to time. This applies to prayer. The principle of the first is so powerful in the Word of God. We cannot underestimate that. So let's talk about this for a while. I have three take-homes for you today. Take-home number one, it's the priority of prayer. We need to give it a priority. This sets the tone. I don't know if you're familiar with this, but it's said about Mother Teresa, that she once had an appointment with a journalist, and he came from America or Europe, I don't know, doesn't matter. He traveled a long time to Calcutta to meet her, but he was late. And from this hour that they agreed on, he came 50 minutes late, and they talked 10 minutes. And then it's said that Mother Teresa said, "I'm sorry, sir, the time is up, I need to go now." And the journalist said, "You must have a very important appointment. I came half the world to see you, and I was late, okay, but it was only 10 minutes. Where do you go?" And she said, "I need to go and pray. This is my prayer time." Talking about priorities. Giving God a priority in prayer time. Put it in your agenda if it helps you. And if a phone call comes in, anything happens in between, you say, "Sorry, I can't." Why? I already have an appointment. We need to give it priority. And you know what? God values that. In Matthew chapter 6:33, it says, "But seek first." Here's again the principle of the first. "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things will be given to you as well." This is one of my favorites, because if we go into the Greek, and I just explained the first service that I stopped pronouncing Greek words as long as I have Greek family, which I have hopefully for the rest of my life, because I love you guys. But every time if I try to pronounce a Greek word after the service, I get a whole sermon on how this word should have been pronounced. So I'm not doing that anymore, but I know what it means. The Greek on "all these things will be given to you." Listen to this. It has the meaning of properly put together for a purpose, to gather, to add up, stressing the objection of increasing. With other words, if we seek God first and his kingdom first, God stresses this point of increasing, to gather, to add up everything that we need, and he throws it after us. He throws it at us because he knows that we need it. When is he doing it? When we seek his kingdom first. There's a power in it. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things. What do you need? Health, finances, a new job? your relationship is not doing good. I don't know what it is. We are all living on this planet. We all have our struggles. But it's so powerful. If we see God's kingdom first, then we see him fighting for us, coming up for us. Seek his kingdom first. Pray first. Give it priority. Take home number two. I need a little bit more time for number three because number three is awesome. It's really powerful. Take home number three, the place of prayer. We give it priority. Very important that you have a place. We see in the word of God that Jesus had a place. Very early in the morning speaks about priority. Probably it was a very busy day. There was no time to pray. So what is Jesus doing? He gets up early in the morning before everybody else to give priority to prayer, to have his prayer time. While it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place. He had a solitary place, a place of prayer. A lot of scholars are convinced that Jesus did not only pray this last night in the Garden Gethsemane before the crucifixion, but this garden was one of his favorite prayer places. He went there very often just to be alone with God, and I believe to be away from the disciples. And every family father knows what I'm talking about. We need to have this time with God to go to God and to go away from anybody else, because otherwise it doesn't really work. If I try to have my time with God at home and my three kids are crawling around and the telephone is going, I cannot pray. It doesn't work for me. Everywhere I live and go, in Germany, now here, in our vacation home, I have my little roots. Because I'm a very dynamic person, I cannot sit on a chair and pray. That doesn't work for me. If you have prayer meetings with four people sitting on a chair, this is like difficult for me, because if I pray, I need to move. I need to walk around. I need to stand up. I need to work it out. But I don't know what works for you. Maybe you have this chair next to the window and you make nice music and you make a coffee, and this is how you focus and where you can pray. It is important that you have this place. In our house, I have this upper room, this upper office that worked for me for a while. Then we had the second child and it didn't work anymore. I have in my office, I have this one place where I can go. I have at home a place. I have my silent places where I can go to God and away from everything else to pray. Find your place. Give it priority. You can call it the third place. People say you have your normal life, your real life, then you have your work life and your friend's life, and normally they refer to the third life with your media life, your Facebook life, your online virtual life. But what if we make our third place to be with God? I have my place at home, I have my place at work, and I need to have this place with God where I can go to, where I don't have to care about cleaning or telephone or computer or people asking me stuff or people coming in and out. No, there's just for me. And I can focus on God. So give it priority. Give it a place. Find your place. See what works for you. It can be a prayer wall. Can be a desk. Can be a room. Can be the toilet. The toilet is mostly the only room in a family house that can be locked from the inside. That can work. Sometimes I go to the toilet just to be alone. It works. And now, the most important take home for today. Take home number three. We have priority of prayer, the place of prayer, and now we talk about the person of prayer. And this is important because depending on to whom you pray, your prayers will be short or long, intimate or distant, deep or shallow. So do you understand who God is? Who is God for you? Because let me tell you this. If somehow in you there is this grudge, there's this bitterness, there's this misunderstanding, and you never speak it out, but somehow in your mind it lingers, that God, you are responsible for all the wars on this planet. Because of you, all the children die in Africa. Because of you, all these calamities happen. Because of you, there is disease. Because of you, people die. And now I need to come to you and play a little bit nice God kind of. I'm sorry, God. If this is how you see God, your prayers won't go beyond, oh, Almighty God, thank you that I'm alive. guess so. Help me to be a better person. Amen. Well, it's a duty. You don't want to be with that person. It's a duty you need to get over with to somehow be a Christian, somehow be saved. You want to be have a good eternity, right? But really, do I have to go to this God? If this is your view of God, your prayer life is dead. And I understand why. I want to challenge you this morning to rethink what you think about God. Let's turn to Apostle Paul. As apostle, he also was a pastor, but he was an apostle, a church planter. And he was under tremendous pressure. We see he was beaten up, he was tortured, he was stoned, he was offended, he was cursed. But he never had the idea that God is behind it. He always had this resistance in life, and he turned to God as his source for comfort, hope, and love. It's like, look, we are on the same side, and together we face all the stuff that comes at us. Paul never thought it was God causing all this stuff to happen. So it seems like he had a different view on God than some of us sometimes have, right? Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion, the God of all comfort. This is how he calls him. Lord, you are the God of all compassion, the God of all comfort. And why is he the God of all comfort? Because we need comfort. Sometimes we need to be comforted bad because we are hurt. We feel let down. Stuff is against us. Then we can run to God, but we will only run to him if we believe that he is good. I don't know if you have seen the movie The Shack, and I don't want to overstress it because it's wildly discussed, this whole movie. And you need to make it up for yourself if you want to watch it. But there's one scene in it I thought was really, really brilliant. There is a man who lost his daughter, and he is angry at God. And somehow in this movie, he sits with God on one table, God in the form of a woman. So this is all theologically very difficult. However, the idea counts. And I love this conversation that this God says to this person, you know what your problem is? And then it bursts out of him. He said, tell me what my problem is. He's ready to fight God. And God responds, you don't believe that I am good, do you? I thought this was absolutely fantastic. And we carry this bitterness in our whys and we run to God, and God seems not to be responsible for it in that way that we think he is. But he has compassion for our situation. He wants to help us. This turns everything around. He is the place where I can find peace and shelter and help. And he is not the aggressor. Think about that. Who is God for you? Oh my goodness. Who comforts us in all our troubles. He had troubles, but God comforted him in these troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. So let's see what the Word of God says. At the end of this letter, it's called the benediction. It's the end of this letter to the Corinthians. Paul says this, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all, be with y'all. Like Alabama people would say. The amazing grace, this is Message translation, the amazing grace of our Lord. Amazing grace. The extravagant love of God and the intimate friendship of the Holy Spirit. This characterizes God for Paul. Let me cut this down for you very quickly. If we go to Jesus, he has amazing grace for us. You know why? Because he knows exactly what you are talking about. He was familiar with hunger, with thirst, with being lied to, with being lonely, with being let down, with being abandoned, with being tortured, carrying physically pain, carrying emotional pain. He knows and he cares. So whenever you come to Jesus, Lord, I have a problem. He says, I know. And I know how it feels. He was familiar with sexual temptation, but he never gave into it. But as a man, he understands that. So if we pray, Lord, help me to live a pure life. I don't want that anymore. I made a mistake. He has amazing grace. Why? Because he knows. I know, son. I know it's hard sometimes. I've been there. I know, daughter. I know these feelings I carried in my body back then. I remember that. I have amazing grace for you. Isn't that fantastic? The word of God says, for we do not have a high priest, this is Jesus, who is unable to empathize with us, our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. So whenever you come to Jesus, expect amazing grace from him, because he knows and he cares. He also is the mediator between us and the Father. Imagine this, the mediator, the one who stands in between. It's also what the New Testament says. And this is not theology, not a doctrine, but imagine this. Just the picture is very nice. I talk to Jesus about my struggles, and then Jesus, the mediator, brings my prayers to the Father. And he says, Father, Frank is scared. He is hurt. And believe me, I know how that feels like. I've been in his shoes. He says he needs our help. He is sorry. I just talked to him. And God, I can feel his pain because I know how that feels like. He is the mediator to God. That's why God has extravagant love for us. He has an extravagant love for us. And if you know that, you want to run to this person because you're understood. You know, if I hang out with my pastor's friends and pastor's buddies, and in Europe we have this little network, and you talk to a person who's also church planning, and you share about your struggles and your pain and the insecurities and the tensions, and you look into eyes and you understand in this moment he knows exactly what I'm talking about. This feels so good. This feels so good. This is when we pray to God. He knows exactly what we're talking about. He knows and he cares. I'm sorry. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. Paul takes a picture from Jewish culture here that people widely understood back then. But he has a son coming to his father, getting on his knees, waiting for approval. And if the father approves, he would put his hands on him, embrace him, like, it's okay, son. Daddy is here. It's okay. You're welcome. It's gonna be all right. Rembrandt used this whole theme for this very famous painting of the prodigal son. You see that the son just comes home. He was living with the pigs. He was outside. He stole the money from the father. He slandered. He came back and he knelt before the father, not knowing the reaction. The Bible says that the father saw him by far and ran out of the house. But to stay in this picture, this is what he wanted to capture. The son comes, kneels before the father. He says, Father, I made a mistake. And the reaction of the father is extravagant love. It's okay, son. I know what happened. Jesus just told me, it's okay, Daddy is here. I'm so glad you're home. That's the Father. That's the Father we are coming to. This is amazing. The word says, let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence. If we understand who God really is, I'm telling you, we will be like this little donkey in Shrek. I know, do you know that movie? Where this little donkey says to Shrek, let's stand up all night and talk, and we make waffles. Praying a whole night to God with this fella? Can't wait. Let's make some waffles and hang out all night because you're awesome. You understand me. We click. I could talk to you. You are for me. I love you. And I love you. Let us come with confidence to God's throne. And the Holy Spirit, he is the reason why we are able to remain in Jesus. He is the reason why we have this intimate relationship. He is the reason why if we go into worship, you only have to close your eyes and say, hello, God, I'm back. And you start your conversation because he is in you. Through him, we can remain in him 24/7, 365.